Good morning. This is Jack Llewellyn, and I'm here with Mark Hoistler from Alpine Leadership. And I better plug chamber stuff. Go to DurangoBusiness.org. And coming up on the 16th, we have our business after hours, which is hosted by payroll department, but it'll be at the Secret Garden, which I always say is not a secret, at the Rochester Hotel. So, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning.
Well, thank you again for coming in.
My pleasure.
You know, you have presented a couple times, I believe, at the Lunch and Learns that we do.
I have. Most recently, we talked about resistance.
Right? Yeah. And you are a great presenter. I just want to say that. And I always leave feeling, one, that I need to work on things. Two, rejuvenated. And always having little nuggets of leadership. Suggestions that I need to implement.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's no, great thank fun. You.
Yeah.
And so, speaking of leadership, you are working with Fort Lewis College, and I just spaced it.
Ellen Babers.
Ellen Babers. I was going to say Babers. I knew that was Ellen Babers. Thank you. And you guys are putting on a leadership. Whole entire session.
We are, along with Steve, the dean of the college, the business college up there.
Yeah, Steve Elias.
So the three of us are putting together a program.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's fun to, you know, we won't throw so many different things at people. They get lost in it. But it's fun as a participant when you have several different people, right?
Absolutely.
Because sometimes one person's perspective might work for you better than another person's.
Well, just having that personality, you know, which all three of you are wonderful, but just there may be a way your personality, I'm expressive, amiable, that clicks with someone else.
Right, right, yeah.
So when is this?
This is October 1st through 4th.
Okay.
That's a Monday through Thursday.
All right.
It's up at the college.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And all day, each day, or what
expect? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday will be full days. Thursday we'll probably do as a half day.
Okay.
And that's more of a synthesis kind of day. Like, let's make sure we get the 3 days all coordinated ready.
Uh-huh.
So when you go back to work on Friday or on Monday, you've really got a clear plan as opposed to just a lot of ideas swirling in the head.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can tell your employer you're out for the whole day, right? And then maybe you take Thursday off just to reflect and work on your own plan, or maybe you go to the mountains for the half of the day.
Well, and as I understand this too, this is going to be beyond just Durangutan, so to speak, and locals. I mean, because you travel all over the country doing what you do. So you're probably, I'm making an assumption, you're doing outreach as well as Ellen and Steve to others out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how many people are you anticipating, or where does the class cap at, so to speak?
I think we'd like to get a class size of about 20, maybe 25 at the most.
Yeah.
You know, enough people in the room that we really can learn from each other, but not so many where you feel like you're just in a large classroom, right?
Being lectured to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what can people expect? Kind of walk me through your target agenda, because I know you're kind of finalizing and working and tweaking.
Right, right. So first off, it's an interactive presentation. So certainly we'll present a topic, present a unique way of looking at it, dissecting it. Seeing yourself in that aspect of leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of it will be some interaction with your classmates, such that if you learn a concept, well, you know, go over and practice it with Jack.
Uh-huh.
And if you have to have a conversation with a resistant employee when you get back, well, here's a chance to say, hey, Jack, be this employee, be this way with me.
Right.
And then you can practice some of it, right? You know, it's not perfect, but you get a sense like, oh, okay, now if I try this new me, right?
Sure.
With Jack, maybe it looks and feels like this.
Yeah. Well, you know, and one of the trainings I went to, it's called Institute of Organizational Management, kind of getting your master's in chamber world. I love one of the presenters because she said, yeah, it's really great to just say, tell me more. And let somebody expand upon, you know, someone comes to you, I got this issue and blah, blah, and they catch you off guard. Well, tell me more. Tell me more. And pulling out information so you can then digest and understand their perspective. And there's always two perspectives. I always laugh because one kid will say one thing and the other kid says another, and somewhere between the two is the truth.
Right. Right. You know, first off, you know, that that teacher is modeling the key aspect of listening.
Yes.
Right. So leaders, we get it backwards, right? We think as we grow up in our management and directorships and leadership that we think we should be talking more.
Yeah.
The reality is we should be listening more.
What?
Well, almost.
It's so true. And not just hearing, but listening.
Right. So you're listening certainly to the words, but you're trying to really get to the meaning of the words, and you're trying to get the emotions behind that. Right. And you're also trying to see the whole self. You know, are they physically agitated as they talk about this issue? That's really good information.
Right? Well, isn't like 80 or 90% of our communication through body language?
Yes. In fact, there's a famous study by Professor Mehrabian. He was at UCLA. And the believability of a message is primarily impacted by how the person shows up. You know, what's their presence? And people lingo at body language. Mm-hmm. But I don't want anybody to have the idea that I can sell you a single body language, because then you lose yourself, right? You lose your own authenticity. But you can be genuine in yourself and yet show up clearly present and available to somebody.
So if I'm rolling my eyes, that's probably a good
giveaway,
indicator.
Right? Yeah. Right? And people will do this. They'll fold their arms, or they'll start turning their chair sideways. Or you can just start to see the eyes gloss over, right? Sometimes if people are like, look, I'm not going to roll my eyes, but they'll still giveaways, right? Uh-huh. And if you're really lost interest, then you probably should pause and say, hey, let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
And not say, look, I'm not interested in you, right? Or you're boring me. Mm-hmm. But rather, if I ask you a couple good questions, it'll get back on track as to what I need as a listener from you.
Right. Now, right? And is it okay to, you know, take notes? I mean, while you're talking to someone?
Oh my gosh, I'm always taking notes.
Yeah. Okay.
And for me, it goes back to a school practice. If I was writing it down, I'd have a better memory of it.
Right.
Sometimes I go back to my notes, but sometimes just the act of writing it, I think, can help us reinforce the key thoughts, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I got to tell you a story of a friend of mine. He had four brothers, and he said, my dad used to, we'd be roughhousing and something would get broken or whatever. And he said, my dad would come in and smack all of us upside the head and go, I know I got the one that did it. And he said, of course, Dad would leave the room, and then we'd all pounce on the one that really caused the problem, you know. And I would not recommend that at the workplace and the work environment. But now let me ask this, because there's so many, I think, what is there, 4 or 5 generations in the workplace, you know, from, let's say you have the 20 to 30-year-olds, the 30 to 40, the 40 to 50, 50 and plus, which I fall into, maybe even a mentor way that's, you know, should have retired years ago. Will we learn about how to deal with those different generations? Because we all think and act differently.
Right, right. Well, a lot of the existing model of business leadership really came out of World War II, right?
Huh.
We were trying to create fast and efficient outcomes in a real short amount of time, right?
Right.
So bosses were like generals, right, inside of an organization. And then they had their captains and lieutenants and sergeants, and they organized that way. And certainly a lot of them after World War II came back with that was their fundamental training.
Oh.
So they mimicked that, and certainly that made us productive, perhaps, as a country, as a economic society. But people today just go, look, I want more here. I want a sense of meaning, a sense of contributing, or whatever is important. And they probably always wanted that. But now there's enough push against that old style leadership often breaks down quickly.
Well, as I understand it, and someone explained it to me because I'm visual, you know, it used to be you climb the ladder to get to, to the leadership. Now you're on a road. You're all on kind of the same journey together.
Right, right. You look at really successful organizations, and certainly there's a chief executive officer, right? And and so forth, just so there's some sense as to how the board reports and how that reports down to employees, but they're becoming more matrixed, right? And they're becoming more, we need to have this team come together for this way to solve this issue or to pursue this opportunity. And sometimes these miniature organizations, they come form and then they deform, right? And then they go form in a different way. And there's this notion about, if my work is satisfying, I'm not so concerned about how many hash marks I have on my sleeve.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's pulling the team together to achieve a common goal and understanding that. And I also want to, thinking of there's different ways people approach the problem. So like I may go right first, left, straight, right, left, right. Or somebody else might go left, straight, 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 right, and then to the end point. We all get to the same conclusion. We just approach it differently.
Right.
I don't know where I was going with that. I was reading your body language, Mark, and you're like, where are you going with that, Jack? But no, I think that's in part of that leadership is understanding and allowing your team to accomplish the goal, even if we set out differently.
Yeah. Well, you know, the root word of executive is to execute, which sounds morbid because we've assigned it to executions as in death.
Right.
But it originally meant to carry out.
Ah.
So when we're an executive, we see our responsibility is to carry out a plan, to carry out an initiative, right? That's the old root word. And somehow that's been a little messed up. But I think if we come back to that, we each have a role to carry out something in our organization.
Right. Yeah. And well, and also under clearly having having clear goal to get there. I mean, it's kind of like, I almost right. say like football, you know, you got to go from here to the end zone.
Right.
You know, and there's different plays and everything because you all know what that goal, but sometimes business, you know, may be the leader that's not conveying because I do that. I mean, I go to meetings all day long. I forget to let my staff know what I've been up to. So all of a sudden they hear, hey, by the way, did you hear so-and-so? Oh, yeah, I went to a meeting the other day. I forgot to mention that. Mm-hmm. So that dissemination of information and learning how to do that and understanding how people want information. Is it texting? Is it an email? Is it a phone call?
Right.
We're all different that way.
You know, sports music metaphors work really well in leadership because one of the things you touched upon is it's clear criteria of success, right? In football, you have 53 yards by 100 yards.
Uh-huh.
And if we put the ball in the end zone, we get 6 points, right? And so sometimes when we're leading and creating plans, it ends up being like, well, we're going to get better
yeah.
or we're going to increase revenues. But it's not clear enough that I understand those boundaries in which we can all operate successfully together.
Absolutely. Well, and then also understanding, you know, how to lead more from the heart than the head. And that to me is so important, truly caring about your employees.
Right.
And understanding what they're going through, because there's a lot of things that go on in our lives that can divert you.
Right. Well, people who are following a heartfelt leader are going to be more loyal than just a purely logical leader or
right.
just a driving kind of leader.
Absolutely.
You get short-term results from that. But after a while, people go, maybe over there, that'd be a better place to work. Because I've heard that kind of boss is more heartfelt. That is, they'll connect to me also emotionally.
Right. Well, Ned, speaking of that, the emotional intelligence, I hear that word used a lot and how important that is.
Absolutely.
In the work environment.
Yeah, that's really key. There's so many studies that show leaders with greater emotional intelligence produce greater economic results for the organization.
Than the dictator saying, get this done. I mean, I literally heard someone the other day said they showed up to work. And they were supposed to get there 10 minutes early. They showed up only 3 minutes early, and the person walked up, put their hands on, I am your boss. You are late. And I thought, and this is somebody 50-plus, both positions. And I thought, that is not a good way to start the day out.
Is their employee orientation kit include a bottle of Bactine?
Yeah, no kidding, huh? No, they just ripped that wound, that band-aid right off. Maybe this leader should go to your session coming up on October 1st.
That'd be great.
So run through the who, what, when, where. We got a couple minutes left. When is this again?
It is October 1st through 4th. It's at Fort Lewis College.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start Continental Breakfast probably 8:30 on that Monday.
And this class includes a parking pass.
It does. We're going to make sure parking's included.
I just made that up.
No,
so hopefully it does.
That was one of the stipulations because
yeah.
especially if you're not from right here, you can get on that campus and go, what do I do with
right.
this, right? And, you know, we appreciate your executives, right?
Absolutely.
You got important busy days.
Right.
And,
so you have your parking pass.
Absolutely.
And where's the classes? Where are they going to be held? Do you know yet? Which room?
Gosh, sorry you asked me that because I don't have it written down. But, yeah,
okay.
We had the meeting rooms. We got a couple really nice meeting rooms up
probably
there.
Probably Viacita room or something like that.
Viacita room is one of them, and then we're using a different room.
Sure.
Also, which is good. Sometimes we
move around.
Yeah, a little different environment, a little view out the windows different helps us. Stay alive as learners.
And all three of you are going to be teaching different segments of it.
Correct. Steve Elias, he's the dean there at the business college.
Mm-hmm.
Really brilliant, really understands not just the theoretical abilities, but how do you link that to a business
right.
outcome?
We have about 30 seconds. And Ellen?
Okay. Ellen Babers. So we have a strategic relationship with her and her organization called Mountain Mesa Training.
Okay.
She's just absolutely brilliant about making anything complex just super straightforward.
Where do you go to register?
You go to alpineleadership.co.co.
Uh-huh.
For Colorado.
Yep.
And then from there, there's a link called Leadership Courses.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
AlpineLeadership.co. Get registered and block out the time. I can guarantee you'll come away a better leader.
Fantastic.
That's my endorsement. We have to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.